For those of you who'd like access to this content, follow the link in the description box, visit our Patreon page, and subscribe to the Black Kluge tier. For a mere $5 a month, you get access to the alternate Sunday episodes you've been missing, only available on Patreon, as well as the weekly Tuesday episodes. But wait, there's more. If you subscribe to the Black Kluge tier, you'll also get 2 weeks advance notice to our Thursday sessions. And if you needed any more incentive, when we have bonus episodes, Patreon is the place where you're going to find them. Also, don't forget to check out TeePublic for our great swag. The link is also in the aforementioned description.
It was like being in a cult, you know, like she had to dye her hair black too, you know, like everybody had to have that jet black hair and a pompadour, you know, her hair was all blown up. It was almost like she walked around in a costume while she was with Elvis.
And I go, boy, she looks good. What a waste of the time I'm here. She should be in bed with me right now. I said, Billy, Sal, you don't look any... You look odd. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is. I guess it's... Are we... Thanks for sending me to school with them. Motherfuckers. Now you see what I'm going through. The bush.
Right.
But how do you paint that? You know, and that's when I'm in the middle of painting. And, you know, when some...
I hooked her up with Clarence Clemens, the saxophone player from the E Street Band. She would have been.
You didn't hook me up.
She would have been the Yoko. She would have been the Yoko of the E Street Band.
When I say this is the greatest living songwriter right now, that's it. And I don't think I'll tell you. I'll make you another prediction. I'm pretty good on predicting. Ever since I predicted that we'd be in quarantine for years and years, not just a few weeks. TV series. Chucky, the puppet, the doll that comes to life and terrorizes families.
I saw that preview and I was like, well, how long can that last?
She's okay with you seeing heterosexuality, just not gay people. And that's what I take issue with too. I don't do sexual stuff in front of my kid.
And how embarrassing. Like, she's at a play.
You guys better laugh at me or I'll stab you and behead you. I'll kill you.
Without dessert tonight. It's going to be a pretty big, pretty stiff penalty.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's hot. It's burn my mouth. dry oatmeal. I need one.
What? Oh.
On it. Where you could just put them in your ear and like they'd be Bluetooth or something.
So we feel pretty honored by that. Violent J told Wolfie some of the ideas he suggested to Sarah to do on her OnlyFans. This is a part of the exclusive.
I'm casting.
Wow.
I'm casting.
Oh, Robin.
I'm casting. Fucking ideas.
And when I go on Instagram, out of control.
And I see how he's doing some dope shit. That's...
Wait a second. Wait. What's going on here? What's going on? Is somebody hitting a button or something?
Welcome, ladies and gents, to QF, a podcast about Howard Stern. I'm your host, Phil Moore, a.k.a. Jim Fix. And with me is Sam, dressed to kill and ready at will. How are you, my dear?
Oh, great. So happy that everybody's here.
Well, guys, we're going to go back to, I believe, January 2001. I think it's the divorce. It's a divorce conversation. Actually, no, I believe this is 2003 when I've got the audio correct. But it was 2001 January where the divorce was finalized. I think that's why I typed it that way. And he's bitching about the money he had to pay that he made. And I think before we handle the divorce show, one day we'll do that one because he's such a human impersonator on that where he's like, oh, God, this feels so bad, whatever. And to contrast that with like 2 years later, I had to fork over millions to my ex-wife.
I'm surprised that he started complaining about it as much as he did at some points, because clearly they went through a mediator.
Yes.
And she got what she wanted because he wasn't willing to go through. What usually happens is if you start off in mediation and you feel you're being treated unfairly at any point in a divorce, then you have to go through discovery, interrogatories, where then you start having to answer questions from each other's lawyers, meaning how much did you make in any given year? Were there any affairs? Can you expound on the Ralph? Da, da, da. Everything in an interrogatory has to be answered honestly. Even if it's proven false, then that's more money towards your side, basically. So I think it's interesting that, you know, he even started piping up after the divorce and not just saying, wow, I got away with that, without having to actually do what normal divorce people who are in contentious situations with a lot of money have to do.
And especially in the public eye, like, you know, celeb divorces are not the same as any other. Even like a CEO's divorce might get some headlines, but not like it will if it's, you know, a Brad Pitt type person or, you know, fucking Orlando Bloom, his two big crushes.
Well, it just goes to show you there's two things working here, and this is where it conflicts. What is more important to Howard, money or truth and the real face getting out? So you have the perception and you have money. And at some point after the divorce, when the dust settled, all of a sudden the idea of perception became less important when he started feeling more confident in his false divorce face.
Yep.
And he started caring about the money he lost.
Well, it was ages ago when we did the NPD stuff with Bob early on, and he mentioned about how they never let go of anything. And so he was seething about it at the time. You know, like everything he's saying in 2003, he believes in, you know, 1999, 2000, whenever they're separated, he's loathing every aspect of Allison. And supposedly at the other place, I remember Dominic was interviewed, and he mentioned that she was going to let Howard go. Allison was going to let Howard go with like 100,000 or something like that, a really like low amount, and that he refused but didn't expound. And like the only way that would be the case, if she didn't want his money, because she like, I don't want anything more to do with him. Take care of the kids. Don't worry about me. Because her new husband had money. Mm-hmm. Her new husband to be was going to have money, and they live very well. But I think there's no way that Howard was going to let her go without having some kind of, I don't know, NDA or something that basically is going to be, I'll pay you this much money to keep your mouth shut 100%. Don't talk to the media, anybody, no books.
Well, like I said, I think in the beginning of all this, when they first got divorced, the most important thing on his narcissist list was keeping the image, keeping her mouth shut, keeping everything under wraps in that basement, and nothing's getting out. Mm-hmm. That chest has to be closed. That was the most important thing. But once that was done, then he, because he can't help himself, started to resent the deal, even though he eliminated the problem that he initially wanted to avoid. And that was the most important pressing thing in his narcissistic brain, was getting this settled without any scandalous things coming out. The next thing that came up when it was all said and done was how much money he lost.
Mm-hmm. And he went on and on, and we're going to hear all about it, guys.
I still can't get past the fact that I had to give away half my money. I cannot get over it. I am so, I'm in therapy over it half the time.
That's what you talk about in therapy?
Sometimes. I still can't get over that. I worked for the money.
See, it would be different if Allison, and I don't want to offend anybody, but it would be different if Allison was some Beth Bimba who just pushed out some kids and, you know, brunched every day and didn't have an education and didn't have any goals of her own and seemed to be completely void of any intelligence whatsoever. But she's not. She was a person who was in the trenches with him saying, okay, I can have a career, you can have a career. And at some point they both agreed that his career was more pressing. Yep. So she thought deferred. She fell back to let his shine. And then at some point she could have at any junction of the relationship could have stepped forward and say, no, I want to build my practice. This is my turn. But she didn't.
Well, the Emily Post, sorry, Emily Post, the New York Post, Emily fucking Post, the Emily article of the New York Post, she made a comment to that Dory Lewak person who was doing the interview, said, I don't think he could handle it when she went back into the workforce to work as a like a what is a social worker or as a therapist, as a counselor. Right. And it's no different than if Beth got some kind of sitcom job. He wouldn't be able to take it if Beth got this kind of independence, because he got to control everything, but also worried about who's going to get her ear.
Right. Well, he only allowed her on jobs that he could control, take away, and knew that it wasn't going to last long because she's not talented in that aspect. Sure. Where it was like interviewing shows, whatever.
Yeah.
If she went on Dancing with the Stars, that was a red line.
Yeah, and also the fact that she's going to be near some actual fucking guys with dicks that know how to use them, and younger and actually look human, instead of, you know, something off the fucking Dakota, the old Dakota in New York City. I think that at the end of the day, it was money most of all that it bothers him. It's money that and the fact that he had to give it up. If it was $500,000, he would have been pissed. That it was $50 million or $100 million, it's just, I don't think it matters the amount. It's the fact that he had to give anything.
And that's why he's discussing this, because I don't think Allison would be unreasonable.
No,
I think she would have fought for her children, trusts, etc., education, you know, stipends, whatever. But I truly believe that it wouldn't have mattered if she walked away with $50,000. He would have lost it.
I think, and I toyed with this ages ago in the first year we started doing this, that what if a judge awarded her like 50% of future earnings for him because of having somebody, he'd be, that's why he would be ultra pissed.
Well, that's why it's more incredulous that he's even upset about this, because it's not like she's just some bimba that, you know, drank all day and didn't raise three children while you were doing God knows what. That's the other part. It's not like he was this equal partner in the home.
No.
So you wanted both. You wanted a work life and a home life. The person who allowed you to continue your work life while you kept having children is the person at home. That's a job. Newsflash. Yeah.
Yes, whether you like it or not, guys, unfortunately, you gotta admit, like, if you had to stay there and look after the kids, it would be a full-time job anymore. No different than if you're a landscaper.
And he would rather do anything else. He would have given up that money in a heartbeat, by the way, if you had to put a gun to his head and say, give me this amount of money or you have to take care of your kids for X amount of time, the same time as Allison. He would have been like, here, take it.
Yeah.
There's times, I swear to God, you don't even know it. Sometimes you mumble it in here.
I know. I mumble.
You do. I've seen you, like, rummaging through your bag going, I can't believe I gave away half my money. I swear I'm not making
it up. I cannot believe it. I just can't. I'm in shock that I got...
You know the one that hit me hard, what you said one day that really hit me hard, that really brought it home?
Ooh.
Was that you said, I gave away my future, my security.
Please. I like my that. I like that Robin sigh. Did you catch that?
Because you think she was fed up of, she knew it was going to be a long rant.
I think that Robin, you know, goes between feeling like I get up every day too. So she has this, I'm on Howard's side working sort of woman thing with no children though, by the way.
Right.
But she also is a woman that has lived through and understands that Howard cannot do anything domestically. So all the years that he's claiming to be the things he is was only possible because of this person.
Well, yeah. And the hired help money, basically money provided for, you know, these, you know, nannies and all this shit and housekeepers now. And I'm not begrudging Allison that you get the big house, you get the guy with the money. That's, you know, you're going to need help. It's not like your kids are going to be there scrubbing the floors like fucking Annie, you know, like an orphanage. And so, the other thing was that the sigh might also be, keep in mind, she knew them from the beginning. Like not the beginning, but when she got to hang out with him and Allison, I'm sure she could write, if she had the recall, she could write a phenomenal book on what the dynamic was between him and Allison all those years. And that if she knew he was, you know, gay or closeted, she could say, like, I could point it out here, here, and here, and here, in these occasions where they had a conflict, and I could tell.
Well, two things. First, she could do that because she has accidentally said it a bunch of times where she said, you have very gay tastes. You have very gay habits. You know, Robin has said that and blurted it out multiple times. She also has seen their relationship through many variations of income where it wasn't as huge as it is now or even when they were getting divorced. So that's a big come up from when they started with.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, their marriage.
This was your retirement.
Yeah, exactly. That it was my Holocaust.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
How is this not anti-Semitic? How is this not anti-Semitic?
Because he's Jewish, I guess. You know, it's like, you know, like you can use the N-word if you're Cat Williams, but if you're, you know, if you're Tom Rhodes, it's a big problem. Or if you're, you know, Tom Segura, it's a big, major problem.
It's the point that, like, some people, they just can't wait to point out certain factors. Yet he's seen him as a rich, filthy, rich person. This is the Holocaust?
Right. This is my Treblinka.
That bad.
You
might be a little charred around the edges.
I'm a survivor. I had numbers tattooed on my wrist.
You must have, like, really lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Me, like, it wouldn't be that much. I wouldn't care as much.
Yes, you would.
You'd be hit harder than hell.
Dude, let me tell you something.
No, I wouldn't. Like,
yes, you would. You know what?
John, the hindsight's a bitch.
No, it actually, I think, is worse for people who, you know, maybe make around the, I guess, like between $60,000 to $100,000 range.
Big time.
You have dual incomes, or even say you have a one household income. You think, okay, just because the amount is less, it doesn't affect you as much as somebody like a Howard who lost so much. But Howard has the potential earning that's extremely high, right. And he loses this nut, okay, but he again can earn 10 times more in the next 5 years or whatever it is. Somebody like Stuttering John, you're kind of plateaued at some point for your worth, and you don't have that nut either.
No, and I looked through his divorce thing, and we were doing some of the math, James and I and Len and I and Carrie and I, just on our own, and seeing the divorce paper that was made public about Just Starting John. By the way, there's someone on our channel that's decided, you know, how fucking tasteless it is to bring up a Stuttering John's bankruptcy. Like, it's a public record, dude. It's not like we went to the forensic auditor and dug it up and uncovered it. It was put out on Reddit, everywhere else. So we're honestly like 15th person on the gangbang at this point when I mentioned his fucking bankruptcy thing. It's Shuley's bankruptcy, not Stuttering John.
Why would they be upset about that?
It, for some reason, it was personal to them. Like, oh, you know, it's classless and bringing up his bankruptcy. Or attempted bankruptcy. He truly tried to file for bankruptcy in 2011 and failed.
Oh, but it was public record. I know people who have tried scams like this. They try to file bankruptcy, but it's not a debt that can be dismissed. And then they really, really find a it's a big slap in the face when you think you can avoid something in bankruptcy.
Well, what it was John sold his property in New York, I believe, to go out live on the West Coast once he got the Tonight Show gig. But then he got a house that was, I don't know, probably $500,000. Who knows? It was quite expensive, I'd say. And they said it was beautiful, but he thought the gravy train was in and he was going to continue to make the same amount of money for so long. But then once Jay Leno realized he can't do jack shit, he needs to, he's useless. They said, well, we're going to keep him on as a writer. So he's probably making a quarter of his salary. I think he was making something like $125,000 as a quote unquote writer the final years. That's not a lot of money to live in California and the way with that kind of nut with a wife that isn't working.
Right. And he should have not went all out with the house. But I mean, this is the same trap that a lot of reality stars find themselves in.
Sure.
The ones who do well are the ones who live really within the means that they did before they even started the show, or a tiny bit of an upgrade.
Yes.
And then they invest in businesses and other sources of income while they're making the reality TV show salary. So then they know when anytime that gravy train is cut off, they have all these other, you know, octopus arms in different fucking pots that they can go dip into. And then they have other things that they can do. The ones who suffer are the ones like Kim Zolciak and stuff like that. They spend all this money on houses, cars, shopping, shoes, purses, whatever. charge up $1 million worth of debt. And, you know, this is what you can't dismiss it.
Kid, I was working when I was 14. I worked at a grocery store bagging groceries. And there was this kid that I worked with. He was a year older and his parents had won the lotto. So they got like $1.4 million in the lotto, which is a massive amount of money. But they insisted that he keep working. And they wanted to make sure that, you know, look, we got this doesn't mean you're getting any free rides. So you'll get a few things, obviously, but we're not just going to suddenly be the Jeffersons because of this money. We got to make this last, use it to make our lives more comfortable, but not rely on it as some kind of crutch.
It's nice, but it's not a lifetime's worth of money. I had somebody who got a settlement. I think it was like $500,000 in high school for an accident. And he put on boats and limos and alcohol. And I think it lasted maybe 3 years.
I'm not kidding. Oh, it's not a lot of money. If you want to spend that shit, you can in many stupid different ways. And a boat is one of the easiest way.
They sank it. It sank. They sank the boat. It was unbelievable.
Fucking hell.
Let me tell you something. When you're out hustling every day, which I know you are, you know, people can goof around.
You're really hustling.
You're working every weekend. You're doing all kinds of stuff. Some of it fun, some of it not so fun.
Yes.
Because you know what? A lot of people would like to just slack off on the weekends. I know you're not doing that. I'm telling you.
No, he's doing it at work.
I hate this whole thing, him making himself seem like it's a hard working, like you're digging ditches and, you know, fucking running machines or something. It's so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Dude, when you got to hand over half your money, it's frightening because you're the one who hustled for it. It almost makes you wish you never hustled.
But see, you got to understand something. You were in a position where you had enough of it. Where half was enough.
No, let me tell you something.
John would get...
The guys who get really hurt.
Yes.
You have to give away money.
The guys who make under $100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they manage to save $30,000 in the bank after 9 years of marriage, and they finally have a house, even though their mortgage is up to their ass, suddenly they get out, they got no house, and they got maybe, if they're lucky, $10,000.
But wait a second,
Rick's right. He's right. And this is what I was talking about. I mean, Rick and his divorce got taken to the cleaners. I mean, and she never worked a day in her life. And that's just the way it was because they were married for so long. I mean, he lost his house and thank God he had to pay alimony for so long. And there was, you know, he didn't lose his business because she didn't have any stake in that. But it was rough. And I like his ex-wife. We get along great. But there's that part of you where it's like, yeesh, like I can't imagine working for so long and having this beautiful house and somebody else lives in.
That's when you start looking at, like, you know, liquidating the person might be cheaper. And you understand how some of these fucking murderers get started. But I won't say that, guys. That's awful. I know. But, you know, if the person fell off the top of a staircase accidentally that was greased, I think that with Howard, the analogy would be like you have a full cup, like a full jug of water, right? Mm-hmm. And the water, that represents the amount of money. But then you get a divorce. So now you have like a small jar instead of that big pitcher. It's a small jar, but it's still full of water. In Stuttering John's case, it literally is a glass of water. Yep. And then take out 3/4 of that water. And that's the money he's got left. That's, well,
that's what Gary was saying and Howard was saying is that it doesn't matter. It's more impactful, mm-hmm, of a divorce when you're not making that Howard Stern money. If you're making three figures a year and you have the beautiful house and you have all that stuff and you have the wife that doesn't work and you've been married for so long, it doesn't matter. You're losing half. That's a lot.
I'm trying to think of the high profile stuff where people were hit so hard that their careers never recovered. And I'm thinking John Cleese is the first one that comes to mind because he had like four divorces or three divorces and they cleaned him out and that he had to keep on working. Kevin Costner is another one.
I know Kevin Costner, talked about that.
He's not cleaned out, but I'm sure he's not as comfortable as he'd like to be after those.
I don't understand the whole. I understand having baby mamas more than I understand getting the choice after you get taken to the cleaners once.
Sure.
The choice to keep getting remarried. I don't understand why you don't have enough faculties to say to yourself, I can tell this person I love them and I'm going to be with them and support them and they can enjoy the life that I provide for them for as long as it lasts, as long as this relationship is great. I will maybe lay out something in a contract saying they'll get an apartment or whatever at a car, but right. I am not doing this marriage thing again.
Well, look at Johnny Carson. We followed him to the T. Yeah. We followed him, he married right down to the end and still kept on and had no relationship with his final wife. He was of that generation where it was built in, it was fucking built, like buried into their head. You must be married. You're nothing if you don't have a wife. And if you don't have kids, he already had the kids, but he needed to have a wife. And it was something, it was almost ingrained subconsciously. Marry, 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 be married, be married. And I don't think that's such an issue anymore. In fact, I'd say that there's a lot more couples not getting married and just having kids or living common law, whatever, not going through the thing or getting a justice of the peace, not having that big nut that a wedding costs and being a little more practical about it. And I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to be having a big wedding when I decide I want to get around to planning anything. I just, yeah. We live our day-to-day lives. It really doesn't affect us. It just, I chose the down payment for the house. Like, that's what I picked. I don't.
The bachelor party might cost more.
I don't care about it. Like, it just doesn't faze me. I'm not one of those bride people. I don't Bridezilla. Think about it. I actually gives me hives thinking about it. Being in.
Oh, God. Ugh. Fuck. I don't want
to. You know what? My best friend just came into town this weekend and she said to me, she lives in San Diego with her fiance. And she told me at the end of the night, we're in the car together. We're both drunk as fuck. And she goes, I got to tell you, Cynthia, I got married. And I go, oh my God. She's like, but I didn't have anybody there. And it was just me and him. And we went down to the courthouse, but don't say anything to anybody. Nobody listens to my podcast. I don't think that are one of my good friends, but if they do, sorry. Yeah. I know it's fine.
You still didn't. You could be talking about any one of them.
Yeah. And I was like, she's like, the more I thought about it, cause his family's from all over the place, my family. And I just was like, let's just do this. And so I was the only person she's told so far. And I'm like, I like this decision.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. One of my cousins got married on a Tuesday. It was a Justice of the Peace thing. And then they had a little, like a small get together for like very close family and some friends. But they just didn't want to spend shitloads of money on weddings like the rest of us did. And I don't blame them one bit. But I know my mother, being my mother, would judge my cousin. And I know her mother was like, we need to have a big thing like this, you know. But that's because that was the tradition. I went with the tradition because I didn't mind that. I like that. I love weddings, actually. I have fun at weddings.
I was sad because I was like, I really wish, because I would have been a bridesmaid and I would have loved to see her get married.
Yeah.
But I totally understand just fucking that all. And yep. Living your life.
Oh, the other one I was thinking of was the kids in the hall. Dave Foley, he told a story, I think it was on Rogan, or it might have been Rogan, where he got fucked, royally fucked by the judge.
Really?
And to the point where, like, he would be like a murder suicide type person. Like, if anybody was going to snap, it would have been him, based on the financial restrictions that he had.
I have to listen to that. I didn't know that.
I listened to it and I think I would have considered suicide. Pardon. I hope that doesn't trigger anybody. But I would have. I don't know that I could have dealt with that mentally. What he had to.
Well,
go through.
If anybody in QF has something of a horrible divorce story,
sure.
Like
a friend or somebody know, or a family member, whatever.
Just
please
leave
share
it in the
us.
Comments. I like this, not because I like want your misery. But no, interesting.
It might be funny. And we'll do a mailbag episode reading those stories.
Just terrible celeb divorces. There's all of them.
Or whatever ones. Yeah. Like just regular people divorces, you know, but the funny stuff.
Starting over. When you have two children, okay, there's four of you in a family, husband, a wife, and two children. When you get out, you're not giving away half. You're really giving away 75%.
Absolutely.
You got to take care of the kids. You're giving half just to the wife.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but you're free.
But listen, if you're in an unhappy marriage...
You used to say before you did it that the reason divorce was so expensive was because it's worth it.
Yeah, well, listen to me. I ain't saying, listen.
That's what you used to say.
I am saying that, you know, that young guys who get married have no idea what they're signing in terms of a contract. I think people are starting to get the awareness that you're...
I think that if Allison would have kept playing the part and kept sucking it up and allowing him to kind of live this dual life with Ralph and the shenanigans that went on with his scores and his whatever he was doing with his life, and just decided that she would be satisfied being unsatisfied in a marriage, sexually, intimately,
emotionally,
and personally, emotionally, I think he never would have started down this route. I think it was her unhappiness and kind of almost pushing for him to do it that made it so. I think if she would have just kept that sort of act up that she's been doing for a long time and maintained the unhappiness, he would have been fine with it rather than lose all the money.
Yeah, I think he certainly would have been happy to keep all the money, stay together, have her miserable, and he did just go ahead doing whatever he wanted. So she initiated the stuff, but I think this is we talked about this in the Condomgate episode.
Right.
Do you think subconsciously he wanted to get caught so that, or Ralph decided I'm going to force the issue here by making it so that we're going to out you to Allison so I can have you to myself? Or do you think Howard decided I've had enough? Or do you think he was too stupid and he was going to get caught because he is too stupid?
I think there's two schools of thought here. I think a part of him wanted to get caught because mm-hmm. he wanted to do what he wanted, and he was tired of keeping up the pretend marriage facade.
I agree.
Think it was very difficult for him to keep up the family marriage facade.
Like,
and
it
would
now?
Just be easier to let it go. But yeah. Then if you let it go, you got to pay all this money. So how can I keep it so I can do basically what I want, but still do as little as possible to keep this? Except for he didn't think of the fact that on the other end of how little he was doing, there's another person on the end of this and three kids who are... not happy.
Okay, so if the reason to be with Beth and to marry Beth is ultimately to hide his, like, because this is the conceit, this is the theory. We think he's a pustara, he's a mesofinok, and he needs the beard for the cover. Well, Ralph's not around, and now Cabby has passed away. We didn't mention that, but we probably should. Apparently, Cabby passed away really like 56, really young, but he had that Guillain Barre. Whatever. Yeah, I'm not either. He was basically, if it is what he had, it was paralysis, but neuropathy leading to paralysis. He was mm-hmm. wheelchair bound probably the last decade of his life, maybe more, and not really mobile. And I thought it was a dirtbag. So I didn't care.
It's sad that, you know, you don't want people to be paralyzed.
Oh, no. I mean, like, it's a sad way to go out, but he was a scumbag like Ralph was.
Yeah.
And it's funny that the two guys at the Mercer Kitchen, the infamous Mercer Kitchen mm-hmm. dinner, which is now looking like, you know, like some kind of like a game of Clue or something, you know.
Right.
are, you know.
It's with Scarlett.
It's the candlestick. So it's, you know, now all these associates of Howard that are getting Epstein. I mean, Ross Zapin should be looking both ways when he crosses the street now. That know about their situation are dropping like flies. And why not just divorce her now? Because there's no need. Like, Ralph's not going to spill. Cabby's not there to spill anymore.
Well, the other part is, what is she going to spill? So we have this unknown factor of, when is Beth's unhappiness going to be simpatico to Allison's, where it's like, it's not just Howard having to worry about what am I going to do about this? It's also, now you have to start thinking, and I've been saying this for a while, what is Beth going to start thinking? Because in my head, she's miserable. And
she is.
And now that Ralph is gone, maybe both of them are readjusting the way they're thinking about their marriage and their life. And if they get divorced, what is that going to look like? And I don't know if that's going to happen, but it is similar in a way. It's a different, you know, it's a different chessboard, but it's similar where he's so selfish. He owns the money. It's his money. And,
yeah,
you know, she's miserable.
Well, they mentioned on the air recently that he mentioned that they're going to Italy this summer, most likely with the Kimmels. He's already thinking of how to fucking ruin that vacation for her if he goes.
Well, he ruins everything. It doesn't matter if it's something as insignificant as dinner or a vacation in Italy. It's constant. If I were Beth, just think about this. You're barely surviving. Look at your body.
Yeah.
Just take the last remaining years of your life. Go to some resort. Take whatever offer he gives you and beat it.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking now I got to Photoshop pictures of him and like, you know, in the Colosseum over in the Leaning Tower of Pisa, the Slouching Tower of Pisa.
Jesus. Yes, that's perfect.
So I am going to try to do that, guys. So I'm thinking he's going to hate it. He's going to be miserable in Italy. Nothing will be right no matter what. Then he'll complain about the nut, the money, whatever. And this might be, if they do go, this might be the thing that sets her over into the path of I'm getting the fuck out of this. This is what the rest of my life.
I don't know what it will take. There has to be. It's different than Allison. I believe that just like Allison, Howard had an emotional manipulation since the beginning. And there was kids involved, which is another form of manipulation. But I think it worked the opposite for Allison. When she saw the three kids, she realized the fucked upness of living this kind of way. And that actually made her more strong and dominant in what she wanted to do. Whereas Beth, I think, has been manipulated for so many years and kind of psychologically fucked with for so many years. Not saying that she's not innocent she's innocent. She's not.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a lot harder for her to break than how Allison did. I do.
Well, you and Bob touched on in the recent episode that's just released today, actually, the ONA Supercuts analysis for those of you listening to this right now, because you're talking about how Emily's, you know, she started in the play and then she's doing all this. She's like, I'm not talking shit about the kids, but she went off. She overdosed at the Jingle Ball and then she decided to go hyper religious, you know, like the direct opposite of what he would be doing. And she's releasing religious based, you know, songs and whatever. You don't think that's some kind of reaction to what her dad, what did her, the upbringing that she had with this psychotic person?
Well, yes and no, because there is just this simple fact. Teenagers experiment with drugs. Okay. Teenagers do drugs at concerts. Sometimes teenagers overdose. I mean,
but more the religious stuff, like the direction to go that way.
But from the dichotomy of topless on a stage, singing poorly to being, you know, in a shawl singing whatever the hell she's singing.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty significant.
Well, yeah. So I mean, and if you're Allison and you're seeing this, that your kid is going through this and you're culpable because you stayed with this asshole and you made her with this asshole, that must do a number on Allison's head as well.
Well, it is the older child, so she saw the most of it.
Yep.
And she's the one not in a relationship. She's the one going from one extreme to the next, whereas the other ones seem to have lived a pretty reasonably normal pathway. I mean, I'm not judging anybody who does recreational drugs and has fun. I don't care.
Right.
The point is, that's an extreme change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Signing a legal contract that says you will lose half of everything you work for, regardless of your situation. If you make $10 billion, you've got to pay $5 billion.
But let's say this. There's a guy who decides he's going to get married.
Right.
And then he's going to have children.
Yes.
And the wife will not work. She will not have an income.
Right. Right. Go ahead.
And then they decide to get a divorce.
Go ahead.
What is she supposed to do?
Supposed to get a settlement that will take care of her and the kids.
That's what they're doing.
Who's to say?
Right.
How much is enough for
the judge, asshole? And when you have life, when it's and remember when Spade got Spade was outed as having fathered Jillian Grace's kid, and they did a 30-minute discussion. I'd love to actually cover that one with you or with someone like maybe Carrie, because he's a lawyer and he's got, you know, he's got the book smarts to go along with it. That Dominic was saying how comparing what Spade might have to pay in child support based on other cases in the media about sports, like usually it's athletes that end up doing this, like basketball players and all kinds of things, football players, you name it. Like was it Antonio Cromartie, whatever his name was. He said there's like might be 8,000 a month, something like that. So him saying like, how's that fair? Well, if you've established that she's lived under an income of, I don't know, 20 million a year, let's say 15 conservatively, 15 million when he was at K-Rock back in those days, upwards of 20 in the heyday, then she's going to need half of that to at least, you know, maintain that standard of living. That's what a judge would see.
Not only that, but you have to consider each child for what they're enrolled in, what school they're enrolled in, what activities they're enrolled in. What are the prospects for what high school they're going to be enrolled in, what college they're going to be enrolled in? That's also factoring in. You have to also think, too, how much are your secrets worth, bro?
Yes, big time.
And that's the biggest one. So when they're saying this so casually, well, Howard, how much did you pay to keep her mouth shut? Because that's what this was.
Yeah, so that ultimately that's it. He had to pay to keep her hush-hush, and he really wants to bitch about that, but he can't.
And he can't, so he's going to make it seem like if you didn't want to agree to that, you would have had a trial, and you would have had discovery, you would have had interrogatories, you would have had to answer questions, those would have been on the record,
and you didn't want
to do that. So
no,
you went about it this way. So shut up.
Yep. God, Jesus Christ. You know, with the Murdoch trial, with the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing, I was all in. But if there had been a public Howard Stern, Alison Stern divorce on the Law and Crime Network, filmed, I think I'd be knocking people over trying to get in that lineup to get in.
Well, that's how I just felt about, I'm watching the Fannie Willis case in Georgia, where she hired that special prosecutor. They lied about when they started dating and having an affair during the marriage and him paying for her in vacations and all this other crap. Mm. And, you know, he lied on the interrogatories, and that's, you're an officer of the court when you're a lawyer, and now you're a special prosecutor. So you're lying on legal documents.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that shit.
Nope.
Not right.
Well,
should she have to change her lifestyle?
If he has to, she has to.
I suppose there isn't any need to have a lifestyle change if you split it right down at the middle.
No, that's wrong.
What?
And you know what? Let's put it this way. Let's say you had gotten that. But reverse the situation.
I don't do those things.
You're smart because you understand the contract.
But I don't do those things. So
if my wife
I'm asking about people who do.
Okay, if my wife and I got divorced, right? Just say, she doesn't need satellite TV. Right. She doesn't need high-speed internet connection.
She's gotten used to it.
That's so funny. They're also not considering, think, three kids, 20 years married. She sat through you in the lean years. She was there. You know, she traveled from city to city to city until you got whatever sweet cherry gigs you wanted. Then you fucked around on her. You're also not talking about that. You fucked around. You got caught. Mm-hmm. And whether it was guys or girls, you got caught. And you're not bringing that up, Mr. Honesty.
And you embarrassed her for years on the radio, saying so many private, intimate details about your life that she didn't ask for or sign up for, but she just played along with for the sake of your career, which led to more audience, which led to you being more popular, which led to more income on your end for allowing that sort of frank kind of conversation. And by the way, if Allison didn't want to keep the marital home or whatever it was, because they had that big space, whatever, you guys could have agreed to sell the property, split the difference, whatever. And then she could have lived in a smaller place and then you could have paid her alimony or whatever you were going to do. There could have mm-hmm. been a multitude of ways to solve this that might have been more acceptable to you. But you, by the way, were more, I think, consumed with keeping her mouth shut and just give her whatever the fuck she wants. So we don't have to do that legal part of it where I have to answer questions.
You brought up an excellent point. She is inherently, when she would call in, she became a contributor to the show. She became a show member, like a whack packer, no different than unpaid. Anybody else sitting in, unpaid, and creating content for that show. So a good lawyer could argue and win that she is just as responsible for your fucking career as you are, because you talked incessantly about your wife, your marriage, your kids, you know, things you want to do, but your wife, parents and wife. That was the discussion for decades.
And think about the pieces of evidence you could bring up. Here's a magazine article. Here's an article about this, talking about the realness about your marriage, about how you're the everyman, about how people can relate to you based on the sole subject of your marriage. That so don't even.
Yeah,
don't
and then you
even.
Made a movie proclaiming your love for her.
And Bob and I talked about that as well during the Opie and Anthony thing. Oh, it's all about Allison.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's all about Allison. Did she get paid for that movie? No.
No.
So cool it.
Yeah. And Junior had to get his own studio built for him so he could sleep in the city and fuck around.
Oh, fuck.
While doing the movie, because he didn't want to commute to Long Island. Yeah, that's a real fucking worker bee.
And then even after, like, you know, during the film, he talking about what's her face, the porn star walking around with her tits out and
yeah,
and all the scenes and having a hard on. How would that look if you went through
a judge, a real trial?
Right. If you didn't do it the way you did it and you're upset with the way it ended up, let's try it the other way and see how that's going to work for you.
Oh, yeah.
No, but these are things that, like, in other words, if she went to the lawyer, she would say, well, listen, I need $5,000 a month to run the house. And he would say, why? Well, the satellite bill is $80 a month. The, you know,
yeah,
the,
I mean, where does it say you get massages? Where do you get that?
And then what they do is because I hear friends talk about this all the time, they run it through, like, the kid's clothing. And you say, okay, the kid needs a new jacket, but what the kid needs a $100 jacket, not
when
a $500
jacket. When you're married, it costs you $100 for a jacket. When you're not married, it's $500
right,
for a jacket.
Right.
But, you know, there is injury there. Maybe the person who's asking all this stuff didn't want a divorce.
Okay, Robin.
Maybe they don't, but what, someone's going to be forced to live with them?
But you got to pay to get in.
What happens when it's the guy?
That's an interesting spout off out of Robin. What if the person asking didn't want the divorce?
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, he kind of shoves it off. What are you gonna live with them for the rest? What are you gonna live with that person? So what are you gonna force them?
Yeah, to live together for the rest of your life.
Isn't that a little bit of a, you know, when those two talk read between the lines ish?
Yeah, they get a little meta.
That's very meta, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the divorce stuff, the Jackie stuff, when Jackie left and then after they started talking a little bit more about encounters with Jackie, this is before Sirius, some of those were the best discussions ever because you finally got the real truth out of certain things. Like when he was when the E contract ran out and then weeks later he was talking shit about E. But before that he was going, it's a mutual thing. We're going to a new thing. And, you know, we just decided to end it. And like, fuck E in 3 weeks later. That's one we're definitely going to do. The turnover and then his complaining about E and the network and all the shit and bitching about the other, you know, other Ryan Seacrest and stuff. Fuck him.
It's almost like when he was talking about the foxhole with Jamie Foxx. You yes. know, it's like we're not saying, but we're saying.
Yes.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, the allegations that Jamie Foxx was gay. And truthfully, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. But, yeah. But you know, this is, again, Icarus flying too close to the sun when he wants to out people. Anyway, we'll keep going, guys.
Fair contract.
It's a guy who's madly in love and the woman leaves. The rules aren't any different.
Right. The guy's still
paying. And that guy's injured. Where's his payment?
Well, then he should just stay.
Yeah. Stay with someone who's cheating on him?
Hey, Howard.
The only thing worse than getting divorced is trying to get a prize from the Stern Show because Stuttering John won't give me the freaking prize you awarded.
What prize?
What's up with that?
What prize?
I like Dena Cruz. He says I don't want it. So, like, then I'm not
going to get it. What's going on?
Ignore him. This is a regular caller who's a wacko.
No, you gave me the prize.
Hey, don't use the S word.
That's what you said that you said. That you said.
You're so full of it, John. You just don't want to give it to me because you know me. I'm not lying.
You know what? We have his number. They're looking into it.
No, he's not. John's a freaking liar.
This is that guy.
What is this? Fucking a sweepstakes? Like, Jesus Christ, just give these people, just give them whatever. What difference does it make to you? They're such pricks.
It's like John Stuttering John trying to chisel a listener out of something, you know, because they don't want to. Yeah.
But it's all power. Like, the people who don't have power on the show, whatever power that they can wield because of this pyramid scheme of torture and narcissism, they're like, who can I gain power over? I can gain power over this fucking caller here. Doling out prizes.
Like Stuttering John, I heard on the wrap-up show one time, Jason talking about how Stuttering John would delegate work for Jason and Will, who were unpaid, I think at the door, barely paid, like they're just basically flunkies, that he was supposed to do. And Gary didn't find out about it until after he'd left. And Jason and Will told him about it.
Well, but see, that doesn't surprise me. When you create an environment of
no responsibility, you know, like a deferred responsibility.
Of inherent laziness, entitlement, shitty attitudes.
No morale.
And just demeaning the people you work with. Then you start thinking, whoever's under me, I'm doing the same thing.
Yes, it takes a rare person to actually break that cycle and, you know, decide I'm going to do things on the up and up and I'm going to do my job and be responsible. But if you're a really responsible person, you would never, ever want to work for that place.
Who do you think on the show broke that cycle or at least tried to?
In terms of being good to the underlings or being good, like just to, in general, to other coworkers and just doing their job and
the audience, et cetera.
I'd say the Howard TV guys. For the most part, try to do their best to just be entirely functional, self-sufficient. Like I'd say Richie Wilson, I would say Scott. I know Scott the engineer gets shit on a lot, but honestly, you don't keep a guy that long. You don't keep him that long if he's not doing the right work and doing the right job. And they said that anytime Scott was out, people that were there replacing him, like when he was sick or something, they never did as good a job as Scott did. And that's because, well, Scott knew the fucking settings inside and out. He's like one of those guys that could strip a gun blindfolded and with left one hand tied behind his back, reassemble the weapon. So
I'd say Tracy for the underlings. I'd say her mouth, even though it was very, very fiery, she spoke for a lot of people beneath her to the upper echelon. I'd say she was one of those people. And
Doug Goodstein, all those Howard TV guys, Doug Goodstein. I'd say even DePace was good with the interns and, treated people with respect.
Gandhi?
The slidings, I don't know about Ganji, maybe, you know, all those guys. But I'd say Gary was one of the worst on a sliding scale throughout the years. And then eventually it got to a point that when he became Bowie Gatsby, it was more pronounced.
I'd say Jackie was good to people.
Maybe. I mean, he's very generous. When we interviewed him, he sent me a whack of stuff. He probably sent you the same. Yeah. And all these things that I didn't ask for. And it was really nice of him. And, Artie was probably fantastic with the interns.
Except, you know, when he was in his massive addiction, throwing the shit at people. But I'd say that for the most part, though, the problem is the major wall of upper echelon was that sort of awful behavior that I think trickled down to a lot of the staff that was a part of the Stern Show.
Yeah, Howard.
Hey.
I want to tell you about the divorce and see if yours is, you think yours is still real bad.
No, I just think every guy's divorce is bad because every guy has to give up half his money.
I give up a little more than that.
What'd you give up?
Okay, what happened with me is I wound up getting the divorce. She got the house. We had two vehicles. She got the new one. I got the used one. And then to come find out after the divorce is settled,
and I had my retirement plan because I retired from a major telephone company. After I got my divorce and I went for my retirement plan so I could get the extra money out of that, well, that check was cash. She was also awarded my whole retirement.
Holy fuck.
Well, that's, but see, that's his fault. You have to, if you have control of that, so you have, what's it called? Not add-ons. I don't know what else to call them, but dependents.
Yes.
So, like, if I have, if I die or something, mm-hmm. me is my dependent for my retirement yeah. and my 401k and whatever. So, they're two separate things, two separate accounts, but they're both through the county. So, she's my dependent. So, if anything happens to me, she gets everything or whatever.
Yeah.
You have control of that unless for some strange reason in your state, you're entitled to that after how many years of marriage. I don't know what the rules are regarding where he got married and if he would be entitled to that. I'd have to ask a family lawyer.
That seems incredibly unfair. I mean, like I maybe and even half, I suppose, would be, I guess, understandable.
But I'm just surprised that wouldn't be discussed before the divorce documents are signed. Like, if that's is that something he missed? Like, that yeah. seems something that you would have to discuss before everything's signed. Before the yeah. ink is dry, you're going to know, is half of my retirement account going to be cleared out or not?
I mean, holy fuck.
I don't know how you have that as an oversight, but
yeah, that's a big swing and a miss.
It's legal. Yes. No, we weren't allowed to file that. They said that was mine because that was for my retirement.
See, yeah, who's to say your wife couldn't go out and get a job too and make her own goddamn retirement?
That's still not as bad as Howard only being left with $50 million.
Girl, listen to me. I didn't know that.
So great. And it's true, though, like women who didn't work the whole time or didn't have an education and raised family and that person took care of you. I understand that. But there is sometimes where you do, if you want to maintain that marital asset in that household and there's taxes, which mm-hmm. sometimes are on the higher end, if you live in a nice neighborhood, you're yep. going to have to bartend. I mean, you just do.
Yep.
I love you guys. Can you tell these women not to work, not to struggle to have a career, and until you're tired of them or get rid of them, and you say then, go out and find a job.
That's not bull.
Who's telling them not to work?
I didn't say I'm telling anyone not to work.
Yes, you did.
Not true.
See, she just called him on it. She said, I know. He said he didn't want her to work, and when she did, he had a problem with it. Emily corroborated that.
They had fights on it on the air. Like, I remember it wasn't specifically about her working. It was saying, like, you need to be doing A, B, and C. He had her running the ship at home for mostly everything. So he didn't he wanted to be able to call her at the drop of a hat and do whatever he needed for his career. And that only could happen if he had her as a wife and didn't yep. have to pay for an assistant to do yep. all those things.
Yeah. He wanted her controlled and in every, like a velvet cage. He wanted her if she was dependent on him, he'd know how much money was being spent. He'd know that, you know, she'd be here at this time, picking up the kids here. That's the nanny. There'd be a routine essentially, because he does need a routine. He's always needed one, but that control of having the purse strings in a lot of families, that's a massive problem anyway. And the delineation of same, but you know, when she started to get independent, he didn't like that. And also, I mean, this ties into also her sussing out his, behavioral disorder. And, and then that's another thing that, like, once she started talking differently to him than a way mm-hmm. that he was used to for years, that's when the problem started.
The gray rocking began.
Yep.
And we saw that a lot at the end. Yep. And I think it's different than, you could say, okay, well, Beth could have had a career. Let's say if this were Beth, she could have had a career in modeling and done these gigs, and she lost out on a bunch of money. But the reason why Beth got the majority of her gigs were because of Howard.
Sure.
Whereas Allison had an education and could have started a practice on her own
yeah,
completely separate of Howard that wouldn't have been based on anything he does. In fact, I think it would have affected her industry negatively, knowing who her husband was in some aspects.
Oh, yeah.
She chose to not do that because of what he wanted. That's the difference. That's the difference.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know what kind of autonomy Beth would have had at any stage in the relationship post-marriage. After they got married, again, we don't know the agreements. We don't know about the prenup. We don't know what documents she signed, you know, limiting her, you know, her actions, her activities to whatever. Now, the mom's caves thing is one that I'm going to call out on QFers. We did have one QFer that graciously found us the intern show episodes, the what's the other one? Not Miserable Men. But intern show is one, but also the back office radio stuff, all of it is as complete as possible. If someone can get a Mom Caves season with Beth, I'm all in on taking that thing, cutting just the Beth bits where she's in it and making it, just doing a fucking full breakdown of that.
Some of it. And it was so great. I mean, it was terrible, but great. Terrible. I just think, though, that this is another example, though, even if Beth, again, what your worth is, if you didn't marry Howard or you weren't dating Howard, you wouldn't have had any of the jobs you did, in my opinion.
No way.
And I think in a judge's opinion. And you also, the ones that you did get, couldn't keep. And it's clear to everybody with two eyes and two ears, you have zero talent for any of the things that were foisted upon you to try to succeed at. I mean, you couldn't do it. Whereas Allison, you don't know that potential. It was untapped potential on purpose because he made her stay home and not work.
Yep, absolutely. And I bet you $10 if she's, and I'm sure she's retired now, but when she got independence and started working, it did her a world of good.
Oh, I think her marriage, her next marriage, and how quickly she got remarried says a lot. And I think that she probably, considering how she is as a person, realized how foolish it was to stay in for what she was in for so long.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's maintained such dignity to not break that, even though you have to deal with something like this all these years later, say like 2-3 years later, and you're listening to him talk about money. You cheapen the bargain that you made, even though you know for a fucking fact, if you're a woman, you're Allison, you know, hearing this, he's out of his mind talking out of his mouth like this. You know, you could call up, but you can't because you signed that thing. So he has the right.
We presume. Yeah.
We presume. But you fly off with your mouth like this right now. Do you want me to get down to the nitty gritty?
Do you want a journal leaked to the New York Post with
dates,
you know, an anonymous thing with no return address, nothing to indicate, no fingerprints, just a manila envelope with whatever, all these like a transcript of, you know, the court proceedings or whatever. I don't know how they got it. It landed in their laps.
You know how we love to leave messages all the time? Just like give me the answering machine from 94 to 2001.
Big time. Yeah.
Wait a second. When you have kids, your wife shouldn't work.
You said you're not working now.
I'm not. I don't have a problem with guys paying for their kids and their ex-wife. I'm saying how much is enough. And that's something you've agreed with me, at least in private, about.
I don't know how much is enough.
Okay. Can
they project like what your wife would have made if she followed her career?
No, you see, because that's not fair
either.
That's not
fair.
She's never going to make
it. Yes, it is.
She's never
going to make
it. It is fair. Absolutely.
It is fair. You have to think of that. And you also have to think of what's fair when you think of the kids. Well, they're a lifetime. So at the time it was 18, but I think in New York State, it raised up to 21 or 23 or something like that, where you have to take care of them, health insurance, et cetera. You have to take care of three children on top of that person. Who stopped her career for you? Yes, that's something to factor in. Is she going to make the celebrity money that you made? No, but guess what, bitch? She could have made the fucking money off of a tell-all book and sold millions over, I bet, 10 million more than any copy of whatever fuck shit book you wrote, motherfucker.
Okay. All right, let's play with time here a little bit, all right? Private Parts is over. They're separated. There's no, they've not agreed to anything just yet because the divorce is not finalized. But it's 1999. Mm-hmm. You're Allison. You just, someone comes to you with this fucking tremendous. HarperCollins says, we want your story of we're living with this cocksucker, you know, and we hate his guts and we think you got an axe to grind. How much money does she get, and how many copies does that fucking book sell in 1999? I would say millions.
I'd say if she got a great agent, great literary agent, right?
Judith Regan.
Okay, so let's see. I'm going to look up. Hold on. Let's pause for a second. 1999. Okay, but for Mr. Stephanopoulos, he wrote Being the President's Man of Fame and a reported $2.85 million book contract, and that was in 1999. Yep. And the publisher has gone back to the press five times. Nearly 600,000 copies are in print. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Lewinsky's sexual fumblings. I like how it's Mrs. Lewinsky's sexual fumblings.
Yeah, not
a 20-something-year-old kid and the president of the United States. This is the New York Times, by the way. I'm so glad how shitty they are. This is a 1999 article. Sexual fumblings with the president earned a book advance that was said to be about 600,000. Okay, so she earned 600,000. Monica Lewinsky.
Not really being anybody but someone who blew the president.
And Howard Stern is a lot. He's very well known, and so is his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's earning $600,000 while the iron strikes, where I see Allison being evergreen, meaning she knows the knowledge for decades, there's no dalliance. There's no one-off. This is a marriage. I say she makes
a million.
I'd say about, I was going to say 850 or a million. Yeah.
Yeah. About a million. And then she'll get a piece of the back end profits, on some of those books profits. And she would sell, because you don't think there's a fan in the world.
Plus it was 1999. The fan base is bigger than Monica Lewinsky's tabloid shit, which you could just read in any goddamn magazine. But if you're going to read, which a lot of people did then, you're going to make and sell a lot more copies. So,
well, also the fandom at the time was starting to ebb because of the divorce, because all these guys that looked up to him as a guy that was getting through a shitty marriage, or, you know, not really enjoying being married, but still just stuck together, they could relate to him on that level. When he lost her, he lost that credibility. And it wasn't about dating models or all this shit. It was partially about that, but mostly it was that image. That image got tarnished by the separation.
And you have to think, well, think about just the way they wrote about Monica, saying, oh, her sexual fumbling. So we're in a time where it's men fucking over women wasn't popular, supposedly. So, like, if she's going out and doing this, think about the sisterhood that hated Stern that would rise up to buy that book.
Shitloads.
Even if we thought it was, even if we were super fans at the time. The people that would rise up to buy that book, she would get, I guess, between 800,000 to a million signing. And I think she would sell at least 750,000-900,000 copies in my
easily. Opinion. Easily. I can't think of too many. The books, because I used to work in the library before I moved to Asia, it's library system. After the OJ trial, and I knew before the OJ trial was done that every single one of the fucking lawyers was going to release a book. Christopher Darden did, Marcia Clark did, Johnny Cochran did. They all fucking did it. They were all
Faye Resnick.
Everybody. And they were, you know, popular, absolutely, because that was the topic was so incendiary, you know. But I thought, if you're any kind of person, you don't capitalize on that. Like, it would be like, you know, the Murdoch lawyers and the prosecutors releasing their books. Them doing interviews about the case, I think, is fine. But doing a tell-all book, I think, would be just too much.
But here's the thing. He's talking about, and shitting on her like she could just get this little bitty job if it wasn't for his career that she was helping and stumping for and behind. No, 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 sweetheart. She could have made millions if she would have decided to go
public.
No holds bar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting whatever the fuck I want. I'm releasing everything. And on top of that, and on top of that, if you think you're going to try to deny me of what I've earned by supporting your career, I'm going to get both. And I think she would have.
Imagine, you know, I just realized what the dream would have been. Her being interviewed by Oprah on TV.
For him, maybe. I don't know. I mean, like, what do you
mean? In terms of him being embarrassed because he's so fucking envious and hateful of Oprah.
I think at the time, though, as I remember how Oprah interviewed people back then, especially like Whitney Houston and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know who would have been the best person to interview her. Possibly Oprah just for the long lasting effect of it.
Yep.
But definitely not Diane Sawyer.
No, God, she was all full of fluff. But it would have been even a Charlie Rose would have been fun. But again, he wouldn't go after a spouse. He'd go after, you know, the real famous person. Anyway, let's keep going a little bit.
That kind of money.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And this is something I've always tried to figure out. Has the money that you...
I'm saying that before anyone can get married, a person has to sit down with a lawyer and bang out an agreement with their wife. It's got to be mandatory.
And what does the agreement say? Can't say anything.
Everyone's individual. Everyone's got to do their individual.
What would you have said if you're in your 20s?
I would have said, look, here's what I think.
But you wouldn't have.
No.
You know what the problem is?
That's
back
right.
When you were 20,
no.
This you didn't even. Been
you wouldn't have said anything. Then I would.
Your parents pushed you to get married because they knew something was wrong with you.
Yes. 100%.
In their head, not in our head. In our head, you should have been free to be you. But in their head, they knew something was amiss.
Yep. Absolutely.
We got an agent because here's what you do.
It never dawned on you when you were 20.
It didn't dawn on me because you don't think about stuff like that when you're 20. When you're 20, you're naive. You think the rest of your life sounds like maybe 5 more years. You don't think in terms
of. And that's what we're saying. At 20, you wouldn't have said what you're going to say now.
Right. That's right. And so that's why it needs to be explained to people taught in school. That you're about to enter into a legal contract where everything you earn, I don't care if you have a newspaper route, you have to give 50 cents of the dollar to the other person in the marriage, whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you from now on, whenever you go to work, you owe that person, whether they lift a finger to help you or not, 50 cents on every dollar.
Motherfucker.
Unbelievable, huh?
He's a motherfucker. I fucking... Oof. Allison, you made the wrong deal, in my opinion.
Can we take a quick break? One sec.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing?
Oh, make this point. Yes, sir.
I wonder if because Ben had a pretty lucrative business and I don't know how far it extended or what he had in a will or trust for Howard or Ellen. And, you know, when you get married, I think that's something you have to discuss based upon, I think, just good business practice. Like, my son's going to inherit this amount if something happens to me or whatever.
Sure.
I wonder if, like, Allison's family, if they were somewhat well off as well, so it didn't bother Ben as much to even think about having to do that.
They actually, Allison was her family, the synagogue they got married in with, I believe was her parents. It was quite exclusive actually. I mean, in terms of, you know, hype, you know, I've never seen a shitty synagogue, to be honest with you, but, they were well healed. So she was doing fine with her family with whatever. Like,
so
were they doing millions? No, I don't think so, but.
Okay, so then that makes sense to me because Ben, to me, is a smart businessman. So if he was marrying less than, I think, what he thought Howard was, like less than equal monetarily speaking,
yes,
in a marriage, then I think he would have probably said, we're going to need to hash something out based on your earnings from what I'm giving you, possibly.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense.
Now, once that's explained, then they say, sign on the dotted line. Now, when it's presented that way, you say, wait a second, legal contract, I've heard you're supposed to get a lawyer when you enter a legal contract.
Right.
Most people don't. So then they would go to a lawyer and say, listen, I'm about to sign a contract. Does this sound dumb to you? I'm about to give away every time I go to work, every time I drag myself out of bed, every time I do something. I got to
drag myself out of bed. I love this. I love how he's comparing his job to like a fucking dock worker.
This would make sense if it came from somebody like, I don't know, Johnson & Johnson's family, where you're like a really well-to-do family, or even a lesser than but somewhat similar generational wealth family. Howard had an okay wealthy family that did okay for themselves, but not to the point where you have to worry about something like having a lawyer for a marriage contract. Like you said, Allison's family was nothing to snub their noses at. Also, Howard is saying this as if he had the confidence in himself to make it the way he has at this point in his life. So when he's spouting off right now, he's pretending that he wasn't. Have we listened to those audio of him in the early 80s, late 70s, whatever, when he was doing radio? Who would have thought, not even himself, not even Ben thought he was going to be anything? No. So how can you pretend? How can you pretend that the person you married at the start of this all, both of you, including yourself, yeah, thought that you were going to be something so great that you were going to make multi-million dollar contracts? Mm-hmm. That thought never even entered your head, which is why you wouldn't have had a lawyer sit down with you when you made that marriage contract, because you were fucking useless and you sucked.
Yeah, well, I mean, no one, like, can you predict that you're going to be a success at anything? No, of course not. Draft,
no.
We see it in sports drafts. You pick a player, it doesn't work out. That person never makes it. College players that, you know, take the easy money because they don't have a shot of making it at the NBA.
How many years ago when we're reading comments on other fucking podcasts where it's like, you know, could we have predicted?
You love your Schadenfreude, whatever.
Huh? What?
You love your Schadenfreude. Well, I think that you know, some people just don't know when to quit. Some Mm-mm. people don't know when they shouldn't Mm-mm. have started. And you know, it's. I think that. With him, it's that tunnel vision that he has now. Like in 2024, saying recently on a show, yesterday's show, I believe, Al W. Sent it to me. He goes, did you hear about him telling Ross Zapin that he doesn't remember doing the Vegas shows? The Vegas shows were, the last one was 20 years ago, right?
Okay.
He says he doesn't recall them. Now, it's the prerogative of the emperor, who's not wearing anything, to say, like, I don't, you know, this makes no sense to me. I don't remember this. How do you not remember something you got such fodder out of already getting drunk and, you know, falling over sofas and making a Howard TV episode out of it, having Jimmy Kimmel come in and talk about it while you played it live, not played it, but the audio on the air.
Have Beth fucking salivate over KC.
Yeah, exactly. And so... So, you know, he can decide based on any given day what he chooses to remember. So selective memory. And then so him now in 2003, it's January 29th, 2003, guys, that's the actual file, that he's going, oh, you know what? I was always going to make it. You know, I was destined to make it. Like you make it the success story. You make it science fiction like Private Parts. It was always manifest destiny. If I pushed hard enough, the stone would move.
But this is the absolute, I guess, befuddlement and just complete annoyance to the audience, where you go back and forth with this tall tale that you spin of, I had no idea I was going to be good, to, I knew every second of the way and I made it because of all of my will and all of my talent.
Right.
This is you go between both so regularly, depending on who you're talking to, depending on what narrative you decide you want to say that day. But it happens up until this day, by the way, guys, where it's, he can't decide if he was just a hapless, talentless shit that got lucky, or he was somebody who was so driven and like a Mark Cuban type person.
Yeah. And any given day, like, I was beaten up. Oh, no, my friend got beaten up. Oh, it was a Polish kid. No, it was black people. So every day you decided this is going to change.
It's Mad Libs. Choose your life story.
Yep, absolutely.
No, lawyer might say to you, if you're going to ask your wife not to work and you're going to have children, it sounds fair. And then you go, it's fair? Okay, fine. 50 cents on the dollar. Lawyer might say to you, 20 cents on the dollar sounds a little more fair. Since you're being asked to pay for some services here, if you went to hire a housekeeper, which is essentially what we're talking about here,
necessarily the same thing. She doesn't just keep house.
Okay. So he's made her a housekeeper. That's what he just called her.
He just lost her from 50 cents to he lost her 30 cents on the dollar in a sentence.
Yeah.
And by the way, the agreement's already made, you piece of shit. Mm-hmm. So she now has the deal. And she knows part of that deal is keeping her mouth shut. Mm-hmm. So she has to put up with this. I bet you $1 million, Fillmore, that I don't have to give you if I win it. Or if you win it.
Okay.
But if she heard all of this, which went on for quite some time. This is just one of many rants he made.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She said, you shut the fuck up or we are repealing whatever deal we made because you fucked up something in this. You did something that was against what we signed. Whatever we signed, you're going against it. You're breaking some sort of
promise. The parameters of the agreement.
Yeah. I agreed to this. You agreed to this. And now you're pushing this to a point where I'm going to say, now's my turn to talk. If you want to keep going down this route with your woe is me, I had to give away half my money bullshit.
Yep.
Now's my turn. So you better wrap it up.
Yeah. Watch my dust, bitch.
If you went to buy a house,
all right,
if you took a job,
everything's a legal contract.
If you took a job, would you say, pay me what you want, and if anything happens, we'll just figure it out then?
If you went to hire the best nanny on the planet, Mary
Poppins. It's a wife. It's a wife. It's your wife.
It's not, but it is.
See how he thinks about people?
That's the point. She is a nanny. So what is a nanny? A nanny's a job. It's not a person. It's a job.
I know.
So his wife isn't actually an individual. She doesn't exist as a real person at this point in time. And she never really existed. She existed to serve him as a housekeeper, essentially.
I mean, speaking as somebody who was a nanny for years for a very wealthy family, I loved that money. It was so good. But you had to deal with, sometimes you'd be like staying overnight and they'd be like, can you just help in the morning? Because we're so hungover, which will lead into the next day because they never get out of bed. And it's just things like that. And I think about Allison, that's a nanny job, which they paid me for on the every hour. So every hour they accrued, I would just keep getting paid and paid and paid. And when I was in my late teens, that's a fantastic job. That's great.
Pepsi challenge question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're still a nanny. You don't have Mia. You're not engaged. All this is you're like 10 years younger. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, Hilaria Baldwin's in the market for a new nanny. You don't get paid a lot of money, but so you can either take the money, you have a choice of getting paid really well to keep your mouth shut, or a minimal amount of money, but you get to record everything that goes on in that house. I think there's no way you wouldn't record that shit.
Yeah, they already got blasted for having some sort of, I want to say, hiring bulletin where it's like they were reaching out to see who can take it. Was obvious because they're the only people in the Hamptons with that many children in the same ages that are Hilaria Baldwin's kids.
Yeah.
And it was the most ridiculous, embarrassing ad that everybody was mocking on. There's a forum on Reddit called Nanny something, and everybody knew it was them. Like, everybody knew it was them. And saying, like, you have to sometimes sleep with the kids. And it was just nutty. It was nuts. It just seems like there's no sort of, You're not allowed to see if I'm a nanny. And I know the parents are very like work heavy and they have like big careers and like to party hard or whatever they do. Then you have to maintain like you're an alpha in their world where like you have to maintain the ship as you're going to teach them things. There's going to be a routine because you want the kids to have a routine. You want the kids to be successful regardless of how and how little or how much the parents are doing. So that was my goal as a nanny is to make sure.
You were like nanny 911.
Yeah. Your parents are incorporating your life a lot, but when they're not for a lot of the time, you're going to be on this schedule where it's going to teach you things and you're going to be on a great path and you're going to show your parents at the end of the day what you learned. And you're not going to be just like tired running around. And I'm not just going to be some seat cushion sitting here where they pay me to do that. That's not how I nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved doing that. I love the family. I still keep in touch with the family. They're amazing. Yeah. And I think that Allison, that comment saying like, oh, see what a nanny makes. It's your wife.
Yeah.
Well, it's your wife.
So imagine his kids are hearing that as well. Like even it doesn't even have to be Allison listening to it. But let's say Emily gives it a stray listen and takes it back to her mother.
I don't know. I didn't even think about that. That would be awful.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is your dad talking shit about your mother who he fucked around God. On. Yikes. I'm telling you, the Emily, the Allison and the girls bio.
Emily's especially.
Yes. Oh, fuck. I would sit through 1,000 Kabbalah plays on the Lower East Side to get that book. I would buy every existing copy of Birthday off Amazon just to get that book.
Stop it.
I would learn Hebrew. I would become a rabbi if it meant getting this fucking bio. Anyway, guys, we're going to leave it there. We're going to leave it on a good laugh. Hope you get a belly laugh out of it. We love you guys. We're going to be doing a little bit more. There's more breakdowns coming and there's more deep dives and what have you. And I got in touch with Spencer Coburn. So we're going to be hopefully setting that up. He lives on the West. He lives on the West Coast. So the timing is going to be very, very problematic. I suppose
we'll make it happen. 3-hour time difference for me.
Yeah. And so but we're definitely going to get the ultimate wig show, the hair show. And I would love to hear his take on.
Let me guess. West Coast. Does he live in Scottsdale? Arizona?
No, I mean, like L.A., like California.
Oh, he lives in L.A. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was guessing where he lived on the West Coast.
Yeah. Okay. No. And I think I said L.A., but I meant California. I'm not sure. He could be in fucking, I don't know, Malibu. does hair care pay that much? I don't know.
Oh, it does.
I guess so. And there's a lot of people that pay to keep their fucking plug secret. Pardon the expression. So anyway, guys, we hope you enjoyed this and take care. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Shit, I'm nervous. Please don't hang up on me. She gets a fat condition for the next 2 years. What do you do?
I leave her. Yeah, I'm out.
No, this is what I was saying. No, don't hang up on my ass. She does the math on, she go to the doctor and you say you got to get fat for 2 years. Yeah, you right, like that's some kind of condition where she got to get fat. What does you do?
Yeah.
What does you do?
What does you do?